Welcome to Humble Brag. I'm Nate Mendel. Could you imagine what it would be like to live a balanced life? Well, some ancient philosophers have done just that. In ancient Chinese philosophy, yin and yang is a concept of dualism, describing how seemingly opposite and contrary forces may become complementary, interconnected, and interdependent in the natural world, and how they may give rise to each other as they interrelate to one another. To fully appreciate the lessons of yin and yang, one would have to delve into its teachings and philosophy. I'm going to remain on surface level to observe its practicality and insights. But do know that the exploration of the philosophy itself is fascinating to learn about. It delves deeply into the concepts of opposing energies, duality, and to a large extent, how the world operates. The definition of the words yin and yang have deep intrinsic oppositional meanings, similar to that of biblical Hebrew, whereby words often contain multiple layers of meaning that are hard to convey in, say, English language in one sentence. So I urge you to check it out. There is a lot to learn there. But for now, let's get into the simple aspects of it. If I had to summarize the entire philosophy into one word, it would have to be balance. The value of balance is not to be underestimated. This is, of course, how it relates to our lives and living. In fact, if you are a proponent of healthy living, then the ingredient called balance is probably high on your list. After all, how can you live a healthy life if you don't live a balanced life? Because idea one, too much of anything is unhealthy, right? Think of anything in this world, the best thing in this world, praying to God. If you pray to God 18 hours a day and you neglect your life, you neglect your responsibilities, you neglect your health, you don't stop to eat, that's not healthy. What else? Charity? If you give too much charity, you'll be a pauper. It doesn't matter what it is. If you add the attribute of too much to it, it becomes unhealthy, thereby making balance the key that holds everything together the right way. As such, balance is at the center of healthy living. I would venture to say that the healthiest people on planet Earth are the most balanced people. This is because balance and well-being are directly correlated and they cannot be untangled. Let's look at five attributes of proposed dualities, and I suggest you use these examples as modalities of how to think about others. Number one, happy and sad. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov said, "Mitzvah gedoyla lias besimcha tamid." It's a huge mitzvah to be happy always. One of the early lessons I learned in Breslov Chassidus was that of the difference between sadness and brokenheartedness. Rabbi Nachman and in Breslov in general, they're very against sadness. They make a clear distinction between being sad and being brokenhearted. Humans should not be sad. Humans can, and there are times when it's appropriate to be brokenhearted. This is because sadness is directly correlated with depression, which is on the negative side of the spectrum, the dark or evil side of the energy spectrum. Bringing this back to mitzvah gedoyla, how can you be happy always? Obviously, that's inconceivable. How can you be happy if somebody passed away, someone you love, so on and so forth? And if you understand the distinction between sadness and brokenheartedness, there's less of a contradiction there. But also, doesn't mean that he meant it quite literally. There are times when it's appropriate not to be happy, right? Speaking of sadness and depression, Rabbi Nachman has a famous saying that there is no such thing as despair in this world. So the definition of despair is essentially the complete loss of hope. And since we believe in Chassidus that there is always hope for a person, there's always hope in life, like fundamentally believe that, then the belief, or I should say despair, or its meaning, is simply incorrect. So he says there's no such thing as despair because it's based off of a fundamentally flawed notion that there's no hope. It's the feeling of complete loss of hope. But since there's always hope, there's always a way, it doesn't really exist. In other words, it shouldn't exist. People shouldn't feel that way because it's incorrect. There always is hope. There's always a way out. In any event, not to get carried away here. So you have number one, example one, happy and sad. In life, we have to balance our happiness with the opposite. And finding that healthy balance is optimal. You don't want to be happy and weird if you're at a funeral, right? It's appropriate to be brokenhearted and feel those emotions of loss. And you don't want to be at a celebration and be sad or brokenhearted. You want to be happy. Here's our first illustration or first example of the opposing energies, the opposing emotions and feelings. Number two, strong and weak. King David was one of the strongest people who roamed planet Earth. Yet he's also the individual who wrote the Tehillim, the Psalms, which is saturated with humility, meekness, and tears. You may wonder how such a stark contrast exists within the heart of a powerful leader like David. But that's the very epitome of the lesson hidden within yin and yang, within the concept of balance. A powerful, mature, and capable human is one of both great physical capability alongside humility and the ability to express emotion. What we learn in this department is that when you allow yourself to be vulnerable and weak, you are actually being strong, because strength is ultimately measured by your ability to appropriately handle varying situations. Number three, tough and forgiving. We know very well that life is tough as nails, right? Nature itself appears to be unforgiving. The divine function of a turn for a turn is precise and exacting. The universe, God, everything that surrounds us and fills us appears to be guiding us through extreme toughness. Matter of fact, what is survival of the fittest if not for the ultimate proof of the necessity for being tough? In other words, learn how to be tough and you'll survive. If you can't figure out how to be tough, you dead. But wait, yin yang. At the core of Jewish theology lie the belief that one can do teshuva, repentance, and be forgiven for anything. So we're brought into this world in a tough manner. We're forced to be tough in order to survive. And then consequently, we are tough on ourselves, tough on our peers, and tough on our children. But tough doesn't equal perfect. Despite our strengths, we falter, we make mistakes, we hurt other human beings, and we fail over and over again. Comes Hashem and teaches us, I forgive, therefore you should forgive. Learning when to be tough and when to be forgiving is a balanced art that is both necessary and healthy. The fabric of humanity relies on this polarity. Number four, fast and slow. There are times in life when you need to act urgently and with speed. Simply put, you need to act. On the other hand, there are times when you need to slow down, take stock, think things through thoroughly, not be so rash, act with restraint. Learning when to deploy each utility can be quite the challenge for someone who is overly conscientious. However, the discipline of acting fast is supposed to teach us how to shorten our thought process in times of danger. That is to say that we can learn how to make fast and spontaneous decisions with accuracy, whether that decision is to act or to withhold from acting. That reminds me, I was just watching a clip about a fighter pilot who had to use the ejection seat, and he had about 1 second. Now, just so you know, these ejection seats out of these fighter jets are no simple matter. They are becoming safer. I think right now it's about 90% success rate. In other words, if 100 pilots would pull it in real life scenarios, 90% would live. So there's a 90% success rate right now, but it used to be worse. It shoots out with such force, they experience somewhere between 15 and 20 Gs, spine problems. They break almost like maybe a third or half or two thirds. I forget. An absolute huge amount of people who actually pull it end up with serious injuries from it. It's not a simple roller coaster ride. There are so many things that could go wrong, and you're literally sitting on a rocket that shoots you up a few hundred feet in a matter of seconds. And in any event, the point is, he was discussing the various aspects of performing that. And he said in the end that the biggest challenge remains to be the decision-making. When to pull. If you have time, that's your greatest friend. But if you don't, and if you do have time, when do you pull? Is it now? Is it later? Is it right before? And making that calculation is the most difficult part. A lot of pilots miscalculate that and they end up dead. So decision-making, acting in general, taking action when it is appropriate and needed, is almost like a discipline of its own. Learning when to act and when to restrain, when to think and when not to overthink, is not a simple matter, but it can be learned through contemplation and education. And of course, implementation, practice. Number five, night and day. Sun and moon, light and darkness. All of these are the tale of joy and then doom motivation and then laziness, sickness and then rejuvenation. The cycle of the planets teach us about the cycle of life. When you're down, know that you will be lifted once again. When you're up, understand that you will not be there forever. That is, don't get too cocky. This is a lesson to not be greedy, not be arrogant. This is because all of life cycles. And it doesn't matter if you're a megalomaniac and you think you run the world, you will be affected by the cycle of life as it makes its rounds. You are not impervious to it. It's also a lesson on the other side. Understand and know full and well that no matter how far you've fallen, the depths you've sunk into, the despair you may find yourself in, the problems you've created or have been created that affect you, there is an opposing energy that can and will come at some point that will lift you up and help you rise again. And from experience, being risen again will take you to a place higher than you were before. But you have to know and believe that it is possible, that energy is out there, it exists, and one day it will fill you and you will rise up. As is written in the poster behind me, if you believe you could damage, believe you can fix. Number 6, male and female, hard and soft, both physically and emotionally, intense and gentle. Presently, relaying what I just said is considered transgressive, but screw New Age doctrines. I have age-old, time-tested philosophy by my side. The ultimate lesson of male and female with regards to the topic at hand are that we are not the same, but merge as one nonetheless. Yin and Yang is about the melding of two opposites, how they are so different but yet share one source as they blend together and replace each other's traits throughout the cycle of their existence. Indeed, God has created a magnificent and profound dichotomy called life, and all we can do is reap from the benefits of learning about it and putting it into practice. In conclusion, balance is a discipline and a lifelong journey. There is no peak, there is no destination. It's just a matter of awareness and implementation in accordance with your current aptitudes and intellectual prowess. May we all be blessed to learn more about balance, thereby broadening our awareness, thereby enabling us to implement healthier decisions in our day-to-day that we call life. Amen.